From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, October 3rd, 2022.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by Seth Rigoletti, leadership coach. With the podcast, It's Not Personal, conversations about making work more enjoyable and rewarding. SethRigoletti.com.
Central Maine Power and its partners plan to begin removing miles of timber mats and felled trees along the corridor of a stalled transmission line through western Maine. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection suspended the license for the New England Clean Energy Connect corridor last fall after voters approved a referendum blocking the project. The two sides have been fighting in court ever since. But as winter closes in, the DEP has ordered the developers to remove more than 36,000 mats that were laid down for heavy equipment and to either remove or chip any trees that were cut before the license was suspended. In a statement, New England Clean Energy Connect said it will begin removing the materials and would notify abutting property owners and local governments about the cleanup work. As tensions remain high between lobstermen and federal regulators, NOAA has scheduled a hearing in Portland on Wednesday to take public comment on measures designed to protect right whales from entanglement in fishing gear. A virtual hearing last week was an opportunity for Mainers to comment on proposed regulations that are designed to protect endangered North Atlantic right whales and other whales in the Gulf of Maine. But Governor Janet Mills had encouraged the regulators to come to Maine to hear directly from fishermen. This week, NOAA Fisheries will hold an in-person meeting to solicit further public comment. Regulators are considering a variety of measures to prevent the entanglements, including seasonal closures of some areas and limits on traps and vertical lines. The scoping meeting will be held on Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the University of Southern Maine's Abramson Community Education Center. The Mobile Health Care Act, co-authored by Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, would allow community health centers to use federal funds to establish mobile health care delivery sites in underserved communities. John Gale, director of policy engagement at the Maine Rural Health Research Center, says mobile care brings services to patients with few transportation options.
You bring care to where people are, and it addresses, for at least some people, the transportation barriers. We know a lot of folks in rural communities don't have the ability to get the travel. They may not have their own car. They may have an unreliable car, or there's no public transportation. So it makes that easier.
The measure has passed both the House and Senate and is expected to be signed by President Joe Biden. Meanwhile, a Southern Maine school district will debate tonight whether to ban an LGBTQ memoir from its libraries. The award-winning graphic novel Genderqueer has been targeted by conservative activists across the country and was recently banned from the library shelves at a school district in Dixfield. The Bonnie Eagle School District, based in Buxton, will consider a similar ban tonight. Parents challenged another book, It's Perfectly Normal, but the board voted last month to keep that book in schools. And longtime Maine labor activist Edward Gorham has passed away. Gorham was the president of the Maine AFL-CIO for more than a decade and pushed for legislative efforts to increase Maine's minimum wage and identify chemicals of concern. Gorham was 78 years old. And in a look at the weather for tonight, mainly clear across the state with a light wind. Not quite as cool as last night, lows from the low to upper 30s across the state. Tomorrow, more sun is in store across Maine and a bit warmer, highs from the upper 50s to low 60s. More clear skies tomorrow night before another sunny day on Wednesday with just a few clouds, highs from around 59 to 64. It should get a bit warmer on Thursday, partly sunny with highs from the mid-60s to low 70s. The Maine coastline is home to work boats with chugging diesel engines and whining outboards, but electrification is slowly making its way out onto the water, The new designs are nearly silent and don't directly burn fossil fuels. But advocates of the technology say the coming challenge will be to persuade commercial mariners to make the switch to battery power. Murray Carpenter reports.
On a calm morning on the Cousins River in Yarmouth, Nick Planson unplugs an extension cord running down the dock to his 14-foot Carolina skiff, hops aboard, turns on the motor, and starts down the river.
We're just puttering here at 2.5 knots down the Cousins River towards where it meets the Royal River. A seal keeps surfacing because there's definitely some fish jumping this morning.
Planson doesn't have to shout over the noise of the outboard. It's powered by batteries, and it's very quiet.
And even if I accelerate a bit, you're not hearing much noise, and such a great change over, you know, what would be, even for a small gas motor, it'd be noisy and smelly, and there'd be oil dripping into the water.
Planson, who sells electric motors at the boatyard in Yarmouth, says the technology is advancing quickly. For now, he thinks it's best suited for people working in aquaculture, such as oyster farmers.
So if you go full speed, it'll go for about an hour. But if you're puttering around your farm, it'll go all day.
Seriously, all day on a overnight charge?
Yep.
The cost of the electric systems is significant. Perhaps $3,000 to $5,000 for a 20-horsepower motor, another $3,000 to $5,000 for each battery, plus $1,000 or $2,000 for a charger. But Planson says maintenance costs are lower and fuel costs far lower. Still other electric boat proponents say while the industry is evolving rapidly, it'll take some time to penetrate the market.
The Island Institute goal is to try and have 100 electric boats across the coast of Maine by 2025.
Leah Morris of the Island Institute in Rockland says to move electrification forward, consumers need to see the battery-powered vessels in action before they can fully embrace them.
How can we seed some of these boats across the coast of Maine so that they start to influence and people understand that the technology is in fact there and it's developing rapidly?
To that end, Morris says the Island Institute is providing grants to help defray the cost of the boats. Most recently, it awarded a $2,000 grant to the Kennebunk River Harbor Master. Advocates acknowledge that it'll be a while before larger working vessels such as lobster boats are routinely electrified. It's hard to pack enough batteries on board to compete with tanks full of diesel. In the meantime, innovators continue to tweak electric outboard technology to make it even more sustainable.
And this boat has a fantastic range if you go slowly and if you're not going against too much wind and tide. We could probably go 50 miles at very slow speeds.
That's Alex Abbott piloting his electric-powered boat down the Harrisiket River in Freeport. It's a 23-foot custom wooden vessel that he bought to replace his aging Boston Whaler, which was powered by a 90-horsepower gas engine. He says at top speed, about 10 knots, he can only go about 15 miles.
Which is great for a lot of places in Casco Bay, but it still brings into question the capacity and whether or not it really works for most people for most of their uses.
He also had a solar array installed on the T-top canopy. That provides just enough juice to charge the three batteries in about a week, which works well for his weekend trips. But he says it can also provide some power while underway. After planing along at 8 knots or so, Abbott throttles the boat way back.
I'm now using less power to run the boat than the solar panels are putting in. But I'm only going a couple of knots. So clearly, this array of solar panels that I have is not going to be enough to run the boat, except at extremely slow speeds, perhaps in kind of an emergency. And that's, again, only if you have solar power.
But to be clear, like right now, we're traveling along at an amount of power equivalent to what is being generated by the sun over our heads right at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. 2.5 knots or so.
For today, it's a slow boat on Casco Bay, moving quietly under solar power. But Alex Abbott and other believers say it's also a forerunner of many more electric boats to come. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Murray Carpenter.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, more research is being done on the long-term effects of COVID-19, from neurological problems to respiratory issues and digestive trouble. We'll talk with medical experts about what studies are revealing about long-haul COVID and what's still unknown. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.